Show. Keeping your money safe and secure. Giving you predictability. Have the retirement you deserve with our Safe Money Strategy. All the financial news you need. We're here to help you succeed on your Safe Money Show.
Good morning and welcome to your Safe Money Show. My name's Todd Schoberg from Schoberg and Holmstrom. Just for your knowledge, if you'd like more information about what you're hearing on today's show, give us a call at 855-22-MONEY. That's 855-226-6639. Or visit us online at yoursafemoneyshow.com. And while you're on my website, click on the radio page and check out past shows and to subscribe to our program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. You know, when the Federal Reserve makes a move, it's not just a headline. It ripples and touches everything from your mortgage to credit cards and your savings account. There's a recent decision to cut rates, and you've all heard about it. For everyday people, the impact can feel both promising and a lot of confusion. Lower borrowing costs might open doors, but shifting yields and market reaction can actually create new challenges. You know, today we're going to unpack what the rate cut really means to you, your debt, your long-term financial strategies, so we can approach it with clarity and confidence. And if we got time today, we're going to touch a little bit on the government shutdown because everybody's talking about it, including my co-host, Tony Shore, who's waiting in the wings to give us his wisdom, his strength, and his personality.
I don't know. I don't think you want my wisdom. That's why you're here. And I don't know about strength, unless they're strong smelling, maybe. There's personality, nice. For better or worse. There is personality. I'll give you that. But yeah, thanks for having me on the show. Sounds like we're going to have a great show today because talk about hot topics. You can't turn on the news without hearing about either the rate cuts or now the government shutdown. And we're going to touch on that. But a lot of people wonder, okay, how are these rate cuts going to affect me? And I know you're going to talk about that. Before we get into that, I don't even have to ask you what you've been up to because I know this is your busy season and you've been meeting with a lot of people because of a lot of big Medicare changes, right?
Right. We have Medicare changes. People have drug changes. What we're seeing is a substantial price increase on a lot of plans. Yeah. And we're also seeing the Medicare companies catching up on their losses from the Part D maximum out of pockets. This is the time of year, ladies and gentlemen, if you have questions, concerns, or you don't understand anything on your Medicare, this is the time to reach out to a financial professional who is licensed with Medicare. With me or with another agent around the state that knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And if you're asking somebody a question, they don't have a clue what you're saying, pick up another phone number and call them or call me at 855-22-MONEY. We're going to work you in however we can. I know we're booked out, but we're adding some other dates now. They figured out how to get me to work 7 days a week. I don't know how that's going to happen, but we are busy. So do it early. Do it now. Pick up the phone, give us a call so you don't miss out. If not, there's other agents that are very capable in the area, so give them a call also.
Yeah.
But today, I've been getting a lot of things on mortgages and people calling about rates and what the Fed rate's doing. And I thought we better touch on that day. But when the Federal Reserve makes a move, it's not a headline. It ripples down and touches all of us in our financial lives. And as I mentioned in the start, that's mortgages and credit cards and car loans and returns that we receive on savings account. None of them operate in a vacuum. But the Fed's most recent decision in interest rate cuts, it's no exception. For many people, the news felt both promising and confusing. Lower borrowing sounds good, doesn't it? And reduce yields and market volatility, and that can really muddy the water. That's where people get confused. What is it going to do to me? So I want to unpack that today and look at that. So my goal here is to help you walk away with a little bit more clarity about what this, of how this will affect your life, no matter where you are in your financial journey. This is important. Let's start with the basics, though. In September of this year, for the first time in 9 months, the Federal Reserve lowered its benchmark Fed rates. Specifically, they cut it by 0.25%, bringing the target rate down to roughly 4%. That's what we're talking about now. If you look at past economies and what they like to see is they like to see our growth rate in the economy about that 2.75 to 3.25. If you look at any graph that's out there from the government and their economic predictions, that's what they like to see. So when it gets out of balance, up or down, the Fed steps in. So banks over time will start passing those savings along. They seem to be slow reactors when it comes to interest rates. They like to hang on to that money and then they'll react on your loans. So then maybe you're at a 6% loan and they might reduce it down to a 5% loan. So we're going to talk about there, but here's the catch. Nothing changes instantly. Rates take time to filter through the economy. And you probably won't wake up tomorrow and see your mortgage rates magically drop. Instead, it's more like turning down the thermostat in your house. The adjustment happens gradually. So why did the Fed make this move now? Chair Jerome Powell describes it as a risk management cut. I like his analogy. It's similar to tapping on the brakes when in traffic ahead looks like it might slow down. You're not in trouble yet, but you'd rather ease up than slam on the brakes later. The key factor behind the decision was the labor market. We've seen signs of softening and slower hiring, rising unemployment numbers, and some down pressure on wages. The Fed made it clear that protecting jobs has taken priority. Inflation is still a concern. But right now, preventing the job market from weakening too quickly is the bigger focus. And we've seen that. We've seen the numbers last month and the month before that they were starting to go down a little bit. This move is about striking balance, though, encouraging economic stability without fueling runaway inflation. And we've seen that runaway inflation in the past, and that scares everybody, even though we've seen prices go up. They're getting that back in place. I mean, they're getting that back in that 3% range. What's particularly interesting about this cut is that it was not unanimous. A new member of the Fed Open Market Committee, Stephen Moran, voted for a larger half-point cut. Dissent within the Fed isn't common. When it does happen, it tells us just how tricky the economic picture is.
Well, yeah, and people don't know how it's going to affect them. Some people think they can immediately get a lower mortgage, but that's not the case, is it?
No, inflation hasn't fully cooled. The labor market's showing stress and political pressure is mounting. Even highly trained economists look at the same data, but some come up with different answers or conclusions.
Yeah.
I mean, the newer people think a little better than the old timers. I mean, there's that personality differences there, and they have all different data to pull from nowadays.
Sure. Yeah, I find that interesting that a lot of people were pushing for more. I know the administration has been pushing for rate cuts for a while, and some people were hoping it would be more. But they've hinted that they're going to cut it even more coming up, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And that's really something that everyday investor needs to look at, and retirees. That's an important reminder.
Yeah.
If experts don't agree, though, a perfect path forward, we shouldn't expect a one-size-fits-all. I mean, we talk about that weekly on the show. No matter who you are, when you're planning for your retirement, you have to have a plan for you. It's not what the economy's showing. It's what your bank account is, what your Social Security is going to be, what your pensions are going to be. Nobody has the same thing as you. What's your debt load? You know, this reduction in interest rates has an effect, but you have to react because of you, not because of what the government does. You have to take control of yourself. But when we look at what's going to happen, the first and most obvious effect is borrowing. Lower rates may translate into cheaper loans over time. And you may see lower rates on credit cards. The automobile dealers might start opening up their wallet a little bit and reducing some of their interest rates. Your personal loans, you know, that's where you probably will see it maybe 4 or 5 months from now. Those might go down. And mortgages, you know, the people that missed the boat on the last time when interest rates were down that 2-3%, they're going to be looking at this pretty closely. Is this the time now for me to get on the bus and look at my mortgage? And then lines of credit. You know, lines of credit for businesses are 9-10% a lot of times. So if those get down into the lower numbers, you're going to see lines of credit for individuals and businesses maybe help the economy out. So if you already have debt, this could open doors for refinancing. For example, let me just touch this one. If you have a mortgage with 6% rate and lenders start offering 5 or say 5.25 as a refinancing option, the math might work in your favor, but it's never automatic. Because what else do you have besides interest rates? You have closing costs and length of time you plan to stay in your home or your overall financial strategy. All of these things may come into play. So it's not a left or right. You know, you have to look at the big picture. And of course, lower borrowing costs could mean lower returns for savers. And this is what we had last time we had this situation. And I've been in the business long enough to know what a fair rate of return is. We've always said if you have money in retirement, you could pull out 4% and you'd make 5%, so that money would always stay there. But those rules have changed. Now we're using 2-2.5% because of where the interest rates are. And if they reduce those fixed rates again, and you get down into that, what happens? You need 5% to live on, 4% to live on. You start digging into that principle, right? So this is where you need a safe money strategy of mine that I promote all the time, of where you can get a guaranteed interest rate the rest of your life because you have a set fixed pension where you know what that income is going to be. And you put other money in for inflation. So you have peace of mind when you do retire. So that's one of the main reasons we're talking about this today. And I don't know what your strategies are, but financially, having more than one option or one way to get through these times in our economy is really important. And really, this is where working with a financial professional comes into play.
Yeah.
You need to have that roadmap.
Right. And when it comes to the Fed cutting interest rates, there's pros and cons. The pros being, hey, things like credit cards, loans, mortgages, lines of credit might come down, especially lines of credit or business loans, which will enable businesses to want to expand possibly. So it can really help the economy in that way and help us as individuals in that way. But the downside is some of your safer money options, you won't make as much probably, right? Like people who, you know, in the past have always, oh, I can put my money in a CD and I'll get, you know, 5%. Well, I just saw, I mean, to get 4 or 5% in a CD now, you have to do a really short time period. You're only going to get 3 months or 7 months.
Yeah, I was looking at some fixed rates the other day. Matter of fact, five-year rate was better than a 7-year rate or a 10-year rate. That 7-year rate had a drop in it, and I've never seen that before.
Right.
Because that just tells you, we're not so sure of anything right now.
Right.
But hopefully within 10 years, things will straighten out. But that's what that story is telling me.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And that's a good point. And so people should, if they wonder, like, as a lot of people have been sitting on the sidelines with houses, like my wife and I our mortgage is at 2.9%.
Well, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah. And but I know other people too that have when they refinanced when rates got really low there for a while. And we're not going to probably ever get back there, but we've been wanting to move. We've had our house, but we've been hanging on to it because we want to downsize now that the kids are out of the house and we want to get a one level home. But the problem is with the interest rates, I'm not going to give up a 3% interest rate for a 6 or 7, right?
No.
So we've been waiting and now, the Fed's lowering rates. Well, you know, it's not quite there yet. Hopefully they'll lower them some more. I know they say you're not buying an interest rate, you're buying a house and you can always refinance, but still, you know, the payments make a difference, right?
Well, and then on my end, I got the house paid for, and then I'm looking at doing the same thing you are, is possibly looking for that one level home for our retirement.
Yeah.
And now we have not only lower interest rates, but you have to look at supply and demand on lumber and materials.
If
you look at that, that's through the roof right now, too.
It is.
A 2-bedroom home, 3 garage, slab, maybe a basement. It's still going to run you $499, $399 up in Mora. So if we're down in the big city where you are, you're probably another $100,000, $200,000 on top of that.
Yep.
So you're not only financing with a higher rate, you're paying a higher amount. And somebody once told me, he said, that'll never come down. But I think it's inflated yet. I think there's going to be some move on that.
I think it can come down a little. Is it ever going to get to the 2.5 or 3% again? No. Probably not in my lifetime, I doubt. But it should come down a bit more, I would hope.
And when you sell something, you'd kind of like to have a little bit of gain out of it, just with inflation and the way things have done. But with putting kids through college and that type, a lot of us have mortgaged that over the years to do some of those special things, and that's how we ended up with these mortgages in the past. So it's not a gambler like the stock market, but it's a gamble when you take and refinance, and you really have to know all the options there.
Yeah.
And then we got to talk a little bit about the stock market. Rate cuts often create mixed reactions in the stock market, not maybe on a 0.25%, but if we look at it down the road, in one hand, the lower rates can boost corporate profits. You know, that's what drives that market. And if borrowing is cheaper, companies can expand and invest and hire more easily. And that's good for growth. On the other hand, investors sometimes worry about cuts signal deeper economic problems. If the Fed is stepping into a softened or downturn, markets may react with caution. We saw that right after this most recent cut when the Dow briefly, and I mean briefly, dipped before recovering. It just went, it was kind of a blip, but it did recover right away. And for long-term investors, the lesson is clear. Markets will react in the short term, but it's your broader financial plan or strategy that matters the most. You know, that really is. I had a guy that has several $1 million in Bitcoin, and I've talked about that before. And I was just talking to him in general. I said, when is the time to buy Bitcoin? Is it all over? He says, the only time there is right now is today. So you have to have a plan, and you're adding those things to your portfolio. But you have to have a direction, a plan, a financial person that's going to give you that direction, not just willy-nilly investing. So, but that's true. You know, if you're going to invest and you have a long horizon, you put a portfolio together and you have a financial person that'll help you do that to get to your position. If you want to gamble, which we always say the market is like going to Vegas sometimes, if you're just taking this stock and that stock because you think it's hot, and if it goes, it goes. But that's not a financial plan. That's a wheel of fortune, you know.
So
you have to watch yourself there. Another question is whether the cuts is it beginning a trend in the market, and will the cuts would the Fed cut again? The answer is maybe. Paul called it a meeting by meeting situation. That means the Fed is leaving room to respond for new data. and they're looking for it all the time. Their own projections suggest additional cuts could come later this year, and future markets show high odds of that happening, but nothing's guaranteed. Powell himself admitted it's not incredibly obvious what to do. That honestly underscores how usual this moment is. Mm-hmm. The economy isn't in a crisis, but it's not firing on all cylinders either. The Fed is trying to thread a needle, and that means flexibility is the name of the game. I went to an economics class years and years ago, and this isn't probably all. I've tried to figure this out a little bit more, but they always say downturns or upturns or change in the economy by one administration or another, and I'm not getting political. This is both sides of the table.
Sure.
Usually take for the next administration to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that because, you know, we've had all this stuff happen in Washington, and we're going to get into the other stuff later. But it's not an immediate reaction. You know, if it's a raise or lower taxes or tariffs or whatever, that's something you don't see in your paycheck. That's down the road. All those things are going to happen down the road. And this administration might be out when any of that stuff happens. Right now, we're dealing with what happened to the last administration, what we're doing. That's just economics 101.
Yeah.
And I'm not playing political. I'll never get political on my show, but that's the facts. Washington moves like a turtle.
Yeah.
Emotions go like a rabbit. So you're getting the emotion and the slow movement of the government. So that's what you have to deal with. And that's where some of the frustration in life gets, because you think they're doing something right, but you don't see it because it takes time. And that even with the small, obvious interest rates, it still takes time.
Yeah.
So let's make this concrete. Here are a few examples of how the Fed decision might play out in real life. Young family with debt. A couple with credit card balances may benefit if the card issuer lowers their rates. But the bigger opportunity could be in refinancing mortgage and auto loans, freeing up some monthly cash flow. And I think a lot of young families look for that. Pre-retirees with savings. Someone approaching retirement may notice their CDs and savings account paying less interest. That makes it crucial to revisit income strategies, perhaps incorporating products that offer more predictable income, such as my safe money strategies. Long-term investors, for someone focused on 20 or 30-year horizon, short-term marketing jitters may not matter much. Staying disciplined through the noise is often the smartest move. Each of these scenarios reinforces the same point. The rate cut is a tool, not a magic bullet. Its impact depends entirely on your own financial picture. One area to look closely at is housing. Even if you're not planning to buy or sell, housing often reflects the health of the broader economy. Lower rates may encourage more buyers, which could keep home prices high. But if the job market weakens, demand could soften. You know, so it's either way there. You can see how these interest rates are going on and how it affects you. And if you're looking for assistance, don't be afraid to give me a call. My phone number is 855-22-MONEY, 855-226-6639. And I just wanted to touch a little bit today on the government shutdown and how it affects us. And I'm just going to go through a few things that are shutting down. It's going to impact on services and programs, Veterans Affairs, National Parks and Museums, Social Security. Benefits continue to be paid, though, so don't panic there. And I've had a few calls this week on that. The Food and Drug and Safety, the FDA, they're going to suspend some routine things, but they're going to still be out there watching for disease and control prevention of all of that stays in place. Small business and housing, the Small Business Administration stops processing new business loans, and the Federal Housing Administration, FHA loans, approvals can be significantly delayed. So that's where we get back. Now you have interest rates and you have that shut down. That can mess with a few people's lives. And we've heard on the news lately, the Travel Transportation Security Administration, we're having some problems there. We're getting some walkouts on that. That's going to affect people.
Yeah, air traffic controllers in Nashville, they've basically closed the air traffic control center in Nashville, I just read. So because
they're calling in sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not a good thing.
No.
We need to get to the end of this. I guess that's my bottom line for today.
Yeah.
We really need to get them back to work. And I could say some personal comments, but if you want me to give that to you, stop in my office and I'll give you those personal comments.
Sure.
But we're just giving you information today. Some of food assistance recipients of supplemental nutrition programs, SNAP, that's a big one around here. You could see some delays if the shutdown prolongs. Special supplemental nutrition programs for women, infants, and children, WIC, that's one of the programs. Talk about federal employees. Many federal employees have either furloughed without pay or deemed acceptable or essential work required to work without immediate pay, while the federal employees are legally guaranteed to back pay. They get back pay when the government reopens. Immediate loss of income can cause financial hardship, including delaying mortgage and credit card payments. I'm just going to jump on this for a second. Is that what do I preach every week? You need to have that emergency fund available to you in your own financial planning. You need 3 to 6 months. And if you look at shutdowns, the government has 1.8% of the workforce in the United States is federal employees. There are that many employees, so it can affect our economy itself because they're not going to have money to shop. That's a lot of people that are spending money and not spending money. It's going to affect local economies, small business, and is going to rely on some of those employees buying food and things from their stores. The broader economy, economists typically estimate that a shutdown has a negative effect on gross domestic product. Though much of the lost economy was never going to get recovered, it just is lost. So what I'm trying to say here, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to put some pressure on who you need to call, your congressman, whoever. This is not good for anybody. We should have rules that this doesn't happen. Matter of fact, this has only been this way since 1986.
Wow.
The rules has changed. And since 1986, we've had 10 shutdowns. Most of them have been short, but we have had one that lasted 19 days. So that could, and nobody's moving on this. You know, nobody's moving on this. They're just being stubborn and they're not talking, and they need to talk. Quick cure. Maybe they shouldn't get paychecks. Oh, did I say that out loud? I don't think anybody should get paid for not doing their job. And right now,
yeah, Congress shouldn't get paid. That's for sure, because none of them are doing their job. That's an epic fail, in my opinion, of all of Congress to allow this to happen. And it's the people who suffer are the federal employees. And of course it trickles down to all of us eventually. And so, yeah, we had one in 2018 that lasted 35 days. That was too long. The average is 8 days, but hopefully we won't go beyond that. And if somebody listens to the show, maybe it's over. And if so, that's great. You know, if you don't listen to the show right away, maybe by the time you hear the show, hopefully it'll be over. But if it's still going on, yeah, it can cause some problems for all of us.
Absolutely. And if you're having questions or concerns and you're looking for a retirement plan or just checking out when you can retire, give me a call at 855-22-MONEY. That's 855-226-6639. I'm available. I'm at 139 Union Street, downtown Mora. And remember, if I can't prove it, don't do it. Have a great weekend.
All right, and that does it for today's episode of Your Safe Money Show with our host, Todd Schobert.
Help you succeed on Your Safe Money Show.
Your Safe Money Show is brought to you by Schobert and Holmstrom Financial Services in Mora, Minnesota. The agency is an independently owned and operated and is not affiliated with any other safe money or government agency. Call the office at 855-22-MONEY, 855-226-6639 for your no-obligation appointment, or visit yoursafemoneyshow.com.